Being a private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you'll get out of it. Not much you can do about it, I guess, except, like Julie always says,
walk softly, Peter Troy.
Julie, she's the gal in my front office, periodically cleans out my waste paper basket. From it, she says, anyone could read my character like an open book. And to prove her point, she once arrayed the contents on my desk. I remember it contained some empty cigarette packs, some letters written on pink paper with violet ink from a girl who signed herself Your Darlingest Dora, more empty cigarette packs, a collection of assorted bills, and two empty bottles of scotch. The empty bottles are significant and point to the fact that that must have been the week I made the acquaintance of Anna Marie. Anna Marie. Oh, my fellow sufferers, there was a woman to delight your tired old eyes. Anna Marie. The memory of her conjures up soft lights, the perfume of jasmine, and sweet, sweet music.
Isabel, do we have to listen to all that gooey music all day long?
Don't you like it, Anna Marie?
There's enough sickly false sentiment floating around this house without having that drummed into one's ears all the time.
Oh, Anna Marie, how could you say such a thing? Oh, with Uncle Wesley up there in his sick bed.
Uncle Wesley will probably outlive us all. Turn that thing off, will you?
Do you think he will?
What?
Outlive us all.
He's contrary enough to.
You say some terrible things.
Isabel, dear, sweet cousin, it's just that I'm not a hypocrite.
Oh, he is very sick.
I think he's just teasing us.
Oh, no.
He could probably get up out of that bed and play a couple of sets of tennis without any trouble.
But he's 72.
As he keeps telling us ad nauseum.
A little respect.
He's a crotchety old tyrant. And the only reason we tolerate him at all is because
of
his will. Oh. Yes, his last will and testament. It's going to make one of us very rich.
And you're so sure it'll be you.
The odds are pretty well stacked in my favor, I think.
Well, I happen to know it.
Oh, now what on earth?
The upstairs maid. Probably Senna Mouse.
Senna Mouse, fool enough to live in this mausoleum, shall be under the care of a good psychiatrist. If he's not, he deserves to be screamed at.
Anna Marie, please.
Oh, Miss Isabel.
Well, what's the trouble, Kathy?
It's your uncle, ma'am.
What's the matter with him?
He's dead, ma'am.
What?
Another heart attack?
Oh, no, I don't think so. He looks ever so strange.
Strange?
As though he'd been murdered or something.
There was no something about it. Uncle Wesley had been well and truly murdered by a dose of arsenic, the favorite of lady killers all over the world. Which raised a very interesting point. For Uncle Wesley, in his last hours, had been completely surrounded by women. There were his two nieces, Isabel and Anna Marie, Isabel's mother, a portly lady called Elaine Mackerfield, two maids, a female cook, and a nurse. Seven in all, with at least three of them with good, strong motives to administer the knockout drops. And Anna Marie, who was definitely amongst those three favorites, came to see me at my office the very next morning.
All I want you to do, Mr. Troy, is to prove that I didn't kill my Uncle Wesley. You understand?
Oh, yeah, I understand, all right.
Well, that's all.
That's all?
Too difficult an assignment for you?
Well, that all depends.
On what?
Whether or not you really did kill him.
Would I be coming to you if I had?
Smartest thing you could think of.
I'm not that subtle.
Okay, so what's the story?
You take the case?
Well, I'd want to know a little more about it first.
Well, my uncle was an invalid. He'd been bedridden ever since his 64th birthday. We can't. At least that's what he said.
But you didn't believe him.
He liked a lot of attention. He liked having people running around for him.
Mm, go on.
Each night at 10, someone would have to fetch him up a glass of hot milk and cinnamon.
And last night, someone Mickey Finned his milk with arsenic.
Yes.
Who took it up to him?
The maid, Kathy.
She stand to gain anything by his death?
She'll be remembered in his will, I should imagine, but I don't think she killed him.
Oh, and why not?
I don't think the milk was poisoned when she took it up.
How on earth could you tell that?
My uncle owned a cat called Samarkand. Sammy, for short. It was always hanging around my uncle's bed. Horrible, ill-tempered thing.
Yeah, a soul.
So each night, my uncle used to share his milk with Sammy. Last night was no exception. He poured some out into the saucer
and Sammy's still alive.
And kicking.
Yeah. Well, what do you know? It's real Agatha Christie stuff, huh?
Mr. Troy,
Okay. So why do you come to me, Miss Chalmers?
I was the hot favorite to receive the bulk of Uncle Wesley's estate, and that also makes me a hot favorite as a suspect.
And if they hang the rap on you, it's goodbye to all that money, huh?
And, of course, there is the small matter of getting myself hanged.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Will you take the case?
Of course.
And your field behind?
Of course.
Well, I'm glad we understand each other. Oh, well, incidentally, you'd better bring down a chaperone, Mr. Troy.
Well, now, Anna Marie, I never thought
I was thinking specifically about my cousin, Isabel. She has an eye for the rugged type.
And you?
I can take him or leave him.
My chaperone, of course, was Julie. And as I always say, if you've got to have a chaperone, well, you can't do better than a sweet, sparkling redhead. It was late by the time we arrived at Uncle Wesley's home. Or, as Anna Marie had so aptly described it, mausoleum. It was a grim, dark place. One of those Victorian mansions that should never have left the drawing board.
All this place needs now is the dead march in saw floated through hidden speakers.
It is quaint, isn't it?
Yeah, the old guy must have had a rare sense of humor. What time do the monsters appear?
Hello, Troy. Welcome to Bellamore House.
And I have to open my big mouth. Inspector Caswell, what, may I ask, are you doing here?
Well, I'm in charge of the case, of course.
Oh, brother.
It was the inspector who recommended you, Mr. Troy.
Thanks.
If you'll excuse me for a moment, I'll go and find the maid and have her fix you up a cup of tea.
Now, I know this is going to be a nightmare of a case.
You, too, have a rare sense of humor, Inspector.
Oh, come now. I thought I'd done Troy a favor. There are two exceptionally beautiful women living under the rather austere roof.
And one of them's quite likely to be a murderess.
It's possible.
Yeah. Well, okay, what's the score?
Well, I'm rather hampered, you see. My investigations have to follow routine lines, and, frankly, I'm getting nowhere.
So?
I thought you might achieve better results from your, less prosaic methods.
Oh, I see. Well, give me the rundown, and then I'll tell you whether or not I'm staying.
Well, Troy, I need you in residence. I need some inside information.
Well, I'm listening.
Well, now, the maid took up the old man's milk at 5 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
At 10:20, she went up to collect the empty cup. She found the cat lapping up milk from the saucer, and Wesley Bellamore dead.
Yeah, so the question is, who slipped into the old fella's room between 5 to 10 and 10:20?
Exactly.
Inspector, have you had a look at the will yet?
No one has. The lawyer's coming down from St. Albans tomorrow.
Anna Marie's the favorite?
Not necessarily. Isabel or her mother might come in for the bulk. Anna Marie was the old man's favorite niece, according to the kitchen rumors, but he was a very contrary person. He could have been stringing her along.
Well, what about the staff?
Oh, none of them liked him. He paid them a bare minimum wage. They all imagine they'll get a slice of the estate.
Yeah, so no one's in the clear.
Not really.
No.
Pete, what say we just turn around and get back to London, huh?
Oh, no, he couldn't do that. After all, wouldn't be ethical. I suggested to Anna Marie that she pay him a retainer.
You think of everything.
Oh, my dear, it's my job. Well, now that you're here, I can get back to my hotel and catch up on some sleep, eh? Good night, Troy.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Let me know when you have some news, will you?
Well.
Tea is served, Mr. Troy.
I'm not going to touch a drop of it.
I thought you might have it in here. I'd like you to meet my cousin, Isabel. Peter Troy, Isabel Bellamore.
Well, hello, Mr. Troy.
Oh, hi.
I have a feeling that Sammy isn't the only feline in this house.
Do you take milk and sugar with your tea, Mr. Troy?
Is that a bottle of scotch over there? If you don't mind, I think I prefer whiskey.
Me too. You're worried about arsenic in the tea, Mr. Troy. You needn't be. I supervised the brewing of this pot myself.
Well, by that, I didn't mean that. It's just that I prefer scotch. Oh, cheers, Julie.
Cheers.
I imagine you're here to clear up this awful business, Mr. Troy.
Clear it up?
I have the feeling that the cook was responsible. She always hated Uncle Wesley.
No more than anyone else, Isabel. You included.
How can you say such a thing, Anna Marie?
Because it's true.
Excuse me, girls, but where's Mrs. Bellamore?
My mother? Oh, poor thing. It's all been too much for her. She's lying down.
Anyone think to take her up a cup of hot milk?
Anna Marie, if you can't keep a civil tongue...
Well, I was only joking.
Is it my imagination, or is it rather stuffy in here?
No, I thought there was a bit of a draught.
Well, that's strange. I was just going to remark on that, too. I feel hot and dizzy. Julie, that whiskey.
Oh, no.
The whiskey?
There was something in it.
Peter, come.
Julie! Oh,
dear.
Which one of you?
Isabel, what have you done?
It's not me.
One of you? Poison? Whiskey? I saw the floor come up and hit me in the face. I tried to push it away, but my arms felt like jelly. Black, silky clouds came down over me, and the whole world went dark. And then the nightmare started. I saw an enormous gray cat lapping contentedly at a saucer of milk. Beside it stood Anna Marie, her head thrown back as she laughed loudly. Beyond her loomed Isabel's face, creased into a malevolent grin. And at my feet was the still, crumpled body of Julie. I suppose a couple of million years passed before I heard the voice speaking to me. A gentle, caressing voice.
Peter Troy. Peter, can you hear me?
Oh, I could hear her all right. But I didn't dare try and open my eyes. Not for the moment.
How do you feel now?
I felt like death. But I couldn't open my mouth to speak. Not for a while.
Why did you do it, Isabel?
I tell you, it wasn't me.
Well, someone did.
The staff.
Impossible. You were the only one I told about bringing Peter Troy here.
You still think I killed Uncle Wesley, don't you?
Frankly, yes.
Well, I couldn't have done, and you know it. I was with you from 9:30 until Kathy screamed at 10:20. As it happens, we have alibis for each other.
Your mother?
Oh, she was with the nurse in the conservatory all the time. They were playing gin rummy. They were never out of each other's sight.
Well, it wasn't any of the staff. Except for when Kathy went up to take the milk to Uncle Wesley. They were all in the kitchen together.
Then it must have been Kathy.
Oh, she doesn't have the brains. In any case, the milk wasn't poisoned when she took it up. Otherwise, Sammy would have been killed.
Well, someone must have done it.
Oh, he's coming too.
Oh, Julia.
Oh, she's all right, Mr. Troy. She's sleeping over on the couch.
It wasn't arsenic, Peter.
Yeah, well, thank heavens for small mercies.
Some sort of drug.
Yeah. Oh, sodium amytal by the taste of it.
Sodium amytal? Isabel, you take those to make you sleep.
Yes, but... Oh, there you go, accusing me again. I keep the bottle beside my bed. Everyone in this house knows it's there. Anyone could have taken it. Anyone at all.
Pete. Oh, thank goodness. Where have you been? I've been worried half sick.
Oh, just been down talking to the kitchen staff. Julie, how do you feel?
Oh, ghastly. And scared out of my wits. There's a mad woman running loose around here, and if we don't get out...
Not yet a while.
But
I think it's getting interesting.
What?
Well, a murder's been committed, where a murder couldn't possibly be done.
Oh, you're not making sense.
And neither is anyone else around here, honey. Every single person under this roof has an alibi for the time of the murder. On the face of it, the only way the old guy could have been poisoned is for someone to have slipped into his room between 9:50 and 20:20, said, excuse me politely, and slipped a dose of arsenic into his hot milk whilst he was watching them. And personally, Julie, I don't believe that.
But he's dead, and someone did kill him.
Okay, but it didn't happen that way.
Well, then how did...
The arsenic had to be in the milk when the maid took it up to him.
What about Sammy, the cat?
Oh, to the devil with Sammy.
My sentiments exactly. To the devil with Bellamore House. So how about we get out whilst the going's good? It might not be sodium amytal they try next time.
The answer's in that kitchen.
What?
I'm sure of it.
Why?
Well, it's just a hunch, maybe.
I would like the answer to a very specific question, please, Pete.
Yeah, sure, honey.
Why were we drugged?
Well, obviously, to keep us quiet for an hour or so. Maybe there was something they didn't want us to see. But for the love of Mike, don't ask me who they are.
Pete.
Yeah?
I should like to take this opportunity of handing in my notice.
How does a cat drink poison milk and live? Answer, he didn't drink poison milk. It didn't come from the milk Kathy brought up to the old man.
Where did it come from, then?
Now, that is the $64 question. And I think I've got the $64 answer.
Well, then do tell.
No. No, honey, it's best if I didn't. The killer gets to know that you have any inkling about her gimmick. And you'll be the next on the list of victims.
But, Pete, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then I'm paid to take the risks.
Pete, I have the strangest feeling that someone's listening to us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's your imagination, honey. No one saw me.
Was that my imagination? You closed that door when you came in here.
Someone out there.
Well?
They vanished. Yeah, that makes things rather awkward.
Yes, because now someone thinks you're onto something, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
And if that someone's the murderers, they're going to want to stop you from finding out anything else. And knowing you, Peter Troy, there's only one way they'll be able to stop you. I'd like to go home, please, Pete.
Troy, you out of your mind? That's the most ridiculous theory I've ever heard in my entire life. You've been reading too many detective thrillers.
Look, Inspector, this whole case, this whole plot line is strictly from a third-rate novel. It's as corny as the locked room murder mystery. But there has to be a good, logical answer.
And you think your theory is logical?
Well, can you come up with something better?
Well...
Look, you put me here to get some inside dope for you. Well, I think I've done just that. Now, let's just go along with my idea, shall we? Or else I'm going to call it quits here and now and get on back to my office.
Now, Troy...
Well?
All right, all right.
If I'm wrong, well, we'll soon find out.
I got what you wanted, Pete, but it seems crazy to me.
Well, you just put it down on the table there, honey. Put that cloth over it. Mm-hmm. And the saucer right beside it. Okay, Inspector, you go and bring him in. And get Isabel to bring Sammy, the cat, in with her.
All right, Troy. But if you make one slip...
Well, let's just hope I don't.
Is this going to work?
And it better. Otherwise, somebody's going to sue me for libel. Oh, you remember the milk jug?
Yes, right here.
Good.
Mr. Troy, would you mind explaining...
All in good time, Isabel. Oh, you've got Sammy. Can I have him, please? Thank you. All right, Sammy, all right. I won't keep you long.
Are you going to do some parlor tricks, Mr. Troy?
I hope so, Anna Marie. Now, if you'll all be seated. Would you close the door, please, Inspector?
The curtain's going up.
It certainly is. I want to give you a little demonstration. Now, watch carefully. Julie, will you pour some milk into that saucer?
Right.
Mm-hmm, that's fine. Now, observe. It's good, pure milk. Have a drink, Sammy.
Incredible. A cat drinking milk.
What does that prove?
That Sammy likes milk.
Exactly. Yet he won't drink all milk. Watch. I have here an ice tray. I'm going to knock a couple of cubes from it. As you'll see, it's not ordinary ice in the tray. As a matter of fact, it's frozen milk. Now, we'll put a couple of cubes of it into the saucer and offer it to Sammy. You see?
See what?
Sammy won't touch frozen milk. No cat will. They don't like it.
Is that significant?
Oh, yes, very. Because that's the explanation as to why Sammy was drinking milk ostensibly from Uncle Wesley's poison cup when Kathy came back to collect it.
I don't understand.
But it's very simple. Someone earlier in the day had placed a saucer containing frozen milk beside Uncle Wesley's bed. During the course of the evening, the ice melted. So by 10-ish, it was ready and acceptable for Sammy to drink. Kathy comes in with the hot milk at 5 to 10 and gives it to Uncle Wesley. The old man, following his usual routine, goes to pour Sammy some milk, but finds the cat already drinking some. And it's still drinking it when Kathy comes back for the empty cup.
In other words, Mr. Bellamore didn't give his pet a drink that night because he thought someone had put the saucer there earlier.
Which, of course, they had. Probably when he was asleep.
So the milk was already poisoned when Kathy brought it up.
Right.
Can you prove this?
Oh, yes, yes. This is the vital point. You see, the murderess made one slip, which she rectified at the earliest possible opportunity. She'd forgotten to empty the ice tray. In other words, when I got to this house, it still contained frozen milk. Now, that would have been important evidence.
So the suspect had to get Mr. Troy and Miss Summers out of the way whilst they cleaned out the ice tray.
Yes, hence the knockout drops in the scotch.
Yes, but how did anyone know you'd drink scotch when you came here?
Because, Anna Marie, the murderess knew that I was partial to it. She'd seen two empty bottles in my waste paper basket in my office.
Anna Marie, you went up to see him.
That's right, she did.
You can't prove a single thing, can't he?
I spoke to the kitchen staff. They told me that soon after I passed out, you went in there with the excuse that you wanted some ice cubes to make an ice pack for me.
But what you really wanted to do was to clean out the ice tray.
You can't prove anything. The cook poured the milk and warmed it. It came from a fresh bottle.
It most certainly did. But the poison wasn't in the milk originally.
Then where was it?
In the bottom of the cup. And you always supervise the setting of trays in this house, don't you, Anna Marie?
She did it last night when we arrived.
Just as you set the tray on which you placed Uncle Wesley's cup. The cup with a few grains of arsenic in it.
Too minute a quantity for the cook to notice when she poured in the milk.
And the cinnamon would hide the taste.
Lies, lies. Why would I bring you down here to clear me?
The proverbial red herring, Anna Marie.
I have a car waiting outside. And please don't make any trouble.
Well, of all the words fail me. Mr. Troy, I think that was absolutely magnificent.
Oh, you do?
Desperately clever of you.
You think so?
Oh, yes. Yes.
No, Julie, no.
You know the tagline, Pete.
Tagline? What's the tagline?
Walk softly, Peter Troy. Somewhere along the line, there's a moral to that story. And I'll bet you that Uncle Wesley is still chortling in his grave about it all. You see, the next day, the lawyer came down from St. Albans to read the will out. Anna Marie wasn't the principal beneficiary. Neither was Isabel. Neither was her mama. In fact, the bulk of the estate was split into two equal parts. One to Kathy, the maid. And the other? Yes, you've guessed it. To Samarkand, or less formally, Sammy the Cat. Well, that's life. Or death, too, for that matter.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.